Welcome to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast, where SearchHealthIT.com editors interview leading experts on IT strategies for healthcare leaders.
Guidelines and best practices for virtual systems in healthcare IT. Best practices in IT change quickly. What's best today may be poor practices tomorrow as hardware and software change. So the guidelines to follow are simple. First, purchase systems based on best cost for the performance. Second, use common sense when purchasing any new technology. Use standard hardware and operating systems where possible. And third, understand the difference between a standard clinical application and a life-critical application. Never try to force virtualization on a life-critical application. At Dartmouth Hitchcock Medical Center in Lebanon, New Hampshire, the virtual systems in use are mostly business application systems. Some are clinical applications, but those are smaller with limited user access and small databases. Most importantly, all of the virtual systems running have 100% vendor approval. If a vendor says its system can't be supported in a virtual environment, believe it. Organizations that force a virtual environment on a vendor will not get support when it's needed the most. Based on experience, Dartmouth's Director of Technical Services offers 9 more best practices. Number 1, know the risks. Remember that not all servers are good virtual server candidates. If there are high risks associated with a server's outage, make sure you cover its redundancy if you decide to virtualize it. Number 2, start small. Servers that have low CPU use, low input-output, and standard operating systems are the easiest to virtualize. Don't try to virtualize the largest server or the most critical server you manage. Number 3, backup. Backup the virtual server clients often. Use the host server capability of taking snapshots of the virtual clients. Use the host monitoring tools and have a standard recovery process planned. Number 4, keep your patches up to date. Don't be lax in installing all the security and operating system patches for the virtual environment. It's better to stay ahead of the curve when it comes to patches for virtual systems. Number 5, virus protection. Just because you're running a virtual environment doesn't mean you're protected from viruses. There's always someone out there who will try everything in the book to drop a virus on a virtual system. Protect the virtual servers. Number 6, automate system management procedures. When the number of virtual hosts and clients starts to grow, it's a good idea to have automated systems management procedures. Don't forget to focus automation on server recovery procedures as well. It doesn't help when you're under pressure to rebuild a virtual environment and have to do everything manually. Number 7, monitor. Once you build the virtual environment, make sure you run monitoring tools. You want to make sure any error is captured and reviewed. Make sure thresholds that would cause performance issues are alarmed. This means monitoring CPU use, available disk space, memory use, and swapping. Sometimes end users get very excited about a specific application and open it up to more users than what the configuration was designed to handle. Number 8, reclaim unused resources. Virtual servers cost real money. If you build an elaborate virtual server farm and the resources are not used, it's okay to resize and rebuild. It doesn't serve anyone well if the virtual servers are hardly utilized. And number 9, create standards and stick to them. A virtual server environment should have the same level of standards as a regular server environment. Don't create one-off virtual systems that don't adhere to the standards. So what does the future hold for virtual computer environments? Well, without sounding crazed, the sky really is the limit. Vendors are aggressively building hardware redundancy into the virtual enclosures offered today, and this will only become better. It's possible that some of the major hardware vendors will integrate virtual server environments into their SAN solutions with elaborate central management, auto failover, and auto recovery. This could be called a virtual server network system, or VSNS. Similar to what's happening within a SAN farm, where the systems manager no longer decides where the spindles are that hold his database, VSNS farms will have multiple virtual server enclosures. Based on use and resource allocation, the VSNS manager will automatically decide where to build or move virtual systems. It will monitor virtual servers and move the virtual clients on the fly to where the best performance and available resources exist. It will take automatic snapshots and automatically rebuild the virtual servers upon failures. The VSNS manager will know when server hardware components, such as CPUs, memory, and network interface cards, start to fail, and will automatically redirect users to the snapshot-recovered virtual server. Some experts believe that server size for virtual systems will become significantly larger in a very short time. Dartmouth Hitchcock Medical Center is already using quad-core 64-bit x86-64 Intel processors in some of its largest virtual hosts. The larger and faster Intel Itanium processors are becoming available in the latest Blade enclosures. These processors will be embraced in future virtual operating systems environments. The Unix vendors will expand virtual capabilities in their OS offerings, probably within a one-year window. The most difficult future steps, specifically in healthcare, will be getting application developers to embrace virtual server environments. These application vendors will be slow to move to a virtual environment. To them, it's a complete restructuring of their applications. They will find little benefit in verifying their applications in a virtual environment unless they can show performance improvement for less cost. For picture archiving and communication systems, it will be a completely new and costly FDA recertification process. The one thing that may move the application vendors is if the customer tells them that the application has to run in a virtual environment.
Thank you for listening to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast. For more information and resources about healthcare technology and electronic health records, please visit searchhealthit.com. Thank you.